Voters in Idaho will see two propositions on the ballot on Election Day, November 6th. The second, Prop 2, is whether or not to expand Medicaid to those who fall into the health care gap, an estimated 62,000 folks. And tonight at 6 o'clock here at the Boise headquarters of this radio station, we'll debate that issue as part of the Listen to America tour arranged by the online media organization HuffPost. Jonathan Cohn is a senior national correspondent at HuffPost, and he writes about politics and policy with a focus on social welfare. He's also the author of Sick, The Untold Story of America's Healthcare Crisis and the People Who Pay the Price. He joins us here in the studio. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
So we're not the only political conservative state that has struggled with Medicaid expansion. Utah, Oklahoma, Nebraska face similar challenges. What happened there?
Well, you know, when they wrote the Affordable Care Act, the idea, I mean, people forget, but the concept was we were going to get everybody health insurance, universal coverage. And the idea was that they were going to, for people who were middle class, lower middle class and above, they'd go through these exchanges and buy private insurance. But for low-income families, everybody would enroll in Medicaid. The program already existed. It worked well. It was efficient. And the assumption was every state would do that. Now, you may remember there was a big Supreme Court case in 2012, and to everyone's surprise, the Supreme Court basically said, you know, states, if you don't want to do this Medicaid expansion, you really don't have to. And so instead of having Medicaid expand in every part of the country, it started slowly. You know, the liberal states did. So California and Massachusetts jumped right in. They did it. And over the ensuing couple years, many more states came on board. I live in Michigan. We were one of the early ones. But conservative states where the elected officials were opposed to Obamacare on principle, they don't believe them. They think government is bad. They don't like government health care programs, wouldn't do it. But what we're seeing now in these conservative states is the elected officials don't want it, but a lot of the people do.
And why is that? We've seen, watch these poll numbers, Jonathan, over the last 5 to 7 years. What have you seen in those poll numbers? And the polls meaning, what do people think of this type of health care coverage?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is the obvious and simple one, which is people are struggling with medical bills. You know, the population that is left out right now in states like Idaho, these are people, most of whom are working. They have jobs, but they can't afford health insurance, and their jobs don't provide health insurance. A lot of them have ongoing medical problems that aren't being treated, and they need help. And I think, you know, you hear Medicaid and the debate, you hear a lot, it becomes sort of a debate about welfare and who deserves what or not. But, you know, healthcare is, I think a lot of people recognize, this is a little different than just a cash benefit. I mean, this is people see it as a basic human right. And I think they also understand that, you know, honestly, if you can't get healthcare, it's going to be harder to work. And so I think there's even people who I think have come to this with a more conservative worldview can say, hey, wait a minute, everyone should be able to get healthcare.
And this is also a discussion. And let's go to another state, Maine. There, Governor Paula Page in Maine was against Medicaid expansion back in 2016, I believe. But Mainers wanted something different. It's in the courts to this day. What happened?
Well, Maine, which is a quirky state politically, it's in New England, but it certainly has, you know, it frequently elects Republicans, had an initiative like the one in Idaho right now, and they passed it quite strongly. So you think, all right, it's done. And the state legislature did what it was supposed to do. And the governor, who opposed it, basically said, I'm not going to do it. And he's basically been in a kind of one-man crusade, sort of pounding his fist on the desk metaphorically saying, I'm not going to do this. So now people have taken him to court and said, you have to do this. I mean, there was an election, there was a vote, and they said they would have to do it. So this is being fought out. I mean, eventually Maine will get that Medicaid expansion.
Is that what you think?
I think so. But, you know, he is fighting it. He's been dragging it out. And the sad thing is, you know, the longer it drags out, the more you have people who could really benefit from this program who still don't have health insurance. They still don't have a way to pay their medical bills.
As you said, you're a resident of Michigan, but you're here in Idaho. Could this scenario play out if a conservative governor is elected?
So I disclaimer, I am not a real specialist on Idaho politics. And the more you cover the healthcare story, the more you learn that nothing is impossible. So I would think that, you know, potentially if this passes, you could still have obstacles. I do tend to think at the end of the day, though, when these initiatives pass, when these ballot measures go through, opponents of the expansion will be able to stall but I don't think they can prevent it forever.
Jonathan Cohn is joining us. He's a senior national correspondent at HuffPost. He'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock as part of the Listen to America tour arranged by HuffPost, and we'll be debating the issue of Prop 2 in Idahoans without medical coverage. You said a moment ago that many consider healthcare a basic right. Well, others say it's too expensive. It can't be a right if it costs that much. How do you square those viewpoints when you go out and do your reporting?
Well, I mean, I think these are two things that can be true. It can be true that a society can determine that healthcare is a right, and it can also be too expensive. And so then the question is, well, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to make it less expensive? As someone who has studied healthcare both in the United States and abroad, I can tell you that it's a very complex problem. It's not something we're going to solve right away. You look at how it works here and in other countries, we just pay a lot more. The prices, I mean, that is the fundamental difference. And there's a discussion to be had about, well, how do you reduce the price of healthcare? And, you know, that is a separate debate. That's not what's on the ballot in Idaho. I do think that's what's going to be on the ballot for the 2020 elections across the country, because I think you are starting to hear that debate. I think everybody realizes, wait a minute, we need to do something to make healthcare less expensive. How are we going to do it? You know, how do they do it in other countries? How do we want to do it here in the U.S.? So that is a challenge, and we're going to have to deal with it because it's bankrupting the country. You know, there's no law that says you can't spend 15, 20, 30% of your national wealth on healthcare if that's what we want to do. But that means you got to find the money somewhere. And I think people are feeling like, well, wait a minute, if we're spending all this extra money, are we getting anything for it? And turns out we're not. The healthcare here isn't better than it is overseas. I mean, some ways it is, some ways it isn't. And so I think there's going to be a real push to get those prices down somehow.
Let's go back to that. Some ways it is, some ways it isn't. A lot of proponents of, you know, single payer healthcare, universal healthcare, will point to some of those societies in other countries and saying this is better. Why do you say it isn't better? It is better. What are the big differences between the United States model and some of those in Europe?
Sure. So, I mean, every country is different, and every country has its strengths and weaknesses. In general, when you look at other countries, and when you look at what I would consider the peer countries, the ones that are really similar to us in terms of how big they are and how what their levels of development are, I'm thinking of places like France, Japan, Germany. The healthcare you get in those countries, the quality is just as good. Even at the high end, you have cancer, you need trauma care, you'll get great care in those countries. And it's convenient. You know, there's this myth that if you have universal healthcare of some kind, whether it's a government-run program or you're choosing from private, that you're going to have to wait in long lines, because there are countries where that's true. But, you know, again, France, Germany, Switzerland, or Taiwan, where I happen to be this summer and saw a real single-payer system, it's easier to get care quicker. You don't have to wait. And yet they spend less than we do, and everybody has health insurance. I mean, that's the one single difference. You go to these countries and you tell them that there are people going bankrupt because of their medical bills, and they're like, are you kidding? That happens in the United States, of all places? We are the only developed country where that happens.
Going back 15, 20 years ago when I entered the workforce to get health care, you were often tied to that employer's health care. Oftentimes people wouldn't move jobs because of what was offered. And I imagine you've encountered a lot of emotional stories tied to this issue. Maybe share one with us, and how do you balance that kind of high power emotion with your reporting of the facts?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to go reach back actually to one of the first stories I wrote a long time ago for my book that came out 10 years ago. So this is a dated story, but it was about a gentleman in upstate New York who worked for a defense contractor. And he lost his job, and they ended up bringing him back onto the same company, but as a contractor, so he could get health insurance. And it was a really tragic story, although unfortunately emblematic, because his wife got sick. They didn't get she didn't get checked out, and it turned out that she had cancer. And by the time they found it had been very advanced, no way to know if she would have survived longer or not. She ended up passing away, but the financial, you know, they ended up having to declare bankruptcy. And you hear these stories all the time. And so, you know, for me, I just try to think about those stories. And, you know, people can have very different opinions about how to fix that. But that, to me, is a real moral crisis and, you know, deserves an answer.
Jonathan Cohn talking about his book, Sick, The Untold Story of America's Health Crisis.